All right, Shavuot, good morning. We have a great daf ahead of us today. Really excellent daf. Today's daf is Nun Aleph 51. We are picking up from Nun Amud Beis 50b, three lines up from the bottom. We'll say the shir this morning is dedicated by the Shrek Mishpacha, my cousins, in commemoration of the yard site today of my grandmother, Zichron Livracha, Freda Bas Moshe Yosef, Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. All right, Rabbi, let's begin. Hameses ubeis hakosel. So we're moving our way. We're making our exciting journey through the kishkas of the animal. So now we're up to the meses and the beis hakosel. So we'll say specifically we're going to be focusing on the beis hakosel, which is what we translate as the reticulum. It's one of the stomachs of the animal. So here we go. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say, so the Mishnah said, if the beis hakosel is perforated, so ultimately, again, we're going to discuss the nature of the perforation, ultimately the animal is a trefa. Says the Tan Rabbanan, Mechet shenimtzeis ba'ovi beis hakosos, if you find a needle inside the reticulum, the beis hakosos, so we'll say, what's the halacha? Mitzad echad kshera, if the needle only perforates one side, ultimately, again, it is kasher. Mishnei tzadim, but if it perforates both sides, i.e. the inside and the outside, then trefa. Then the animal is a trefa. Well, so listen to this. Nimtzala koret dam. What happens if halacha lemaisa, you find, Rav Osei, on the needle a little speck of blood? Then the halacha is biyadua, top of Nun Aleph, biyadua shelifnei shchita. Then you know that halacha lemaisa, that the puncture occurred before shchita. Because I will say, remember again, the issue you always have with the puncture of internal organs is, did it occur before the shchita or after the shchita? Before the shchita, the animal is a trefa. After the shchita, the animal is just fine. So a lot of times you just can't tell, so therefore you just go safek daraisa l'chumra. In this interesting case where you're finding a needle in the reticulum, so the Gemara says as follows: if you find blood around the needle, that is a sign that the puncture occurred before shchita. If you find no blood around the needle, that indicates that what? That the puncture occurred after the shchita. So the Gemara says, higlit piyamaka. This is amazing. What happens? Nun Aleph Amud Aleph 51a, three lines down from the top. Higlit piyamaka. We'll say, what happens if a scab formed around the wound? Then what's the halacha? This is actually amazing. Biyadua sheshloshe yamim kodem shchita. We'll say, if you see the wound and it's scabbed, that means that the wound scabbed at least 3 days, or I should say, within 3 days of the shchita. Lo higlit piyamaka, if it did not scab, ultimately, again, I'm otzi mechaber l'avraya. So we'll say, this halacha has nothing to do with shchita. This has to do with choshen mishpat. So we'll say, what happens? I buy an animal from Reuven. This is actually very exciting. I buy an animal from Reuven. And we'll say, what happens? What happens? I shecht it. I open it up. And sure enough, what do I find? Needle in the reticulum. You hate it when that happens, right? A needle in the reticulum. So we'll say, so now I go to Reuven. I say, listen, mekachtos. Right, you sold me a trefa. You sold me a trefa. So we'll say, so do I have a claim or not? So the Gemara says, it depends. If halacha lemaisa, again, there was a scab on it, so that means ultimately, again, that this happened within 3 days. If it doesn't have a scab, then ultimately, again, higli piyamaka biyadua shoshosh yom kodim, so if you look at Rashi, biyadua shehu gimel yom kodim shchita, vimlacha besosh losh yom, and therefore, you know, we'll say, if it has a scab, then it's known that ultimately this happened within the last 3 days, and therefore, if I bought it in the last 3 days, heavy mekach tos. And we'll say, it is a mistake in sale, and I have the right to go ahead and demand my money back. If there is no scab, the Rabbi says it's also possible that what? That it just happened, and therefore again I can have no mekachtos. So the Gemara goes weiter. Umayshna mikol nekuvei da'alma. The Rabbi says, now interestingly enough, why this case of the reticulum is different than all of the other perforations we've spoken about until now? Why? Da'af agav deleka dam tarif. So the Rabbi says, listen to this. This is actually very interesting. In all of the other kinds of preparations, which really is only, we've been focusing on the lungs. When it comes to lungs, for example, we'll say never before have we ever made mention of this concept of a speck of blood. See, what we just said over here by the reticulum, if there's a speck of blood by the puncture, the animal is a trefa. That indicates that the puncture happened before shchita. If there's no speck of blood by the puncture, then ultimately the animal is not a trefa. So I don't understand, why did you never make this distinction by lungs, let's say? By lungs, all we're looking for is punctures. We're not looking for any type of speck of blood. So the Gemara says, Sa'af agav leka dam tarif mar, hasan leka midi lemisrach. So we'll say, here's the difference. In the case of the lungs that we were talking about a stem perforation. I would say there was no needle that was embedded in the organ. Hacha, kevan di'ika mechat. So I would say here, the case of the reticulum that the Mishnah is talking about is where mamish, the needle is still embedded in the reticulum. Iisa dekodem shchitahu, misrach hava sarach. So I would say because the needle is there, therefore I would say what? There is a hard surface for the blood to adhere to. We know that when you pierce the reticulum, there's blood. If this happened before the shechita, then there should be blood on the needle. If there's no blood on the needle, that indicates to us that this occurred after the shechita. So essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is that it's not as much a distinction in the nature of the organ, but rather it's just a distinction in the metzias of the Mishnah. In the case of the lung, there was no needle that was still there. There was a puncture, but no needle still present. In the case over here of the reticulum, the needle is still present. If blood is present, then that's a trefa. If there's no blood, then it happened after the shechita, it's not a trefa. Amar Rav Safra la'abayi. So Rav Safra said to Abayi, Chazi mar, listen to this case, Rav Safra. Chazi mar, haitzura me'rabanan, da'asa mima'arava. So Rav Safra said to Abayi, there is this Talmud Chacham, who came from the west, Va'amar Rav Avira Shemeni. And he said, my name is Rav Avira. Okay? So remember, this is Rav Safra talking to Abaye. So this Talmud Chacham showed up from the west, and he said that his name is Rav Avira. Okay? And this man, Rav Avira, came along and he said the following. Va'amar, Maisa Ubalafanai. I'm sorry, Maisa Ubalafnei Rebbe. Then this Rav Avira gave testimony about a situation that happened with Rebbe. And what happened with Rebbe? One time an animal came before Rebbe, and there was a needle that was found in the reticulum. Mitzad echad. And what happened? The needle had only pierced one side of the reticulum. It didn't pierce all the way through. It pierced the inside or the outside. Vitarfa. And Rebbe declared it to be a trefa. Now Rebbe said, this is very intriguing. Why? Because this goes against what we just learned before. What did we just learn? We learned that halacha lemaisa, if it only pierces one side, it's not a trefa. In order to be a trefa, it has to pierce both sides. Apparently now we have Rebbe testifying about an animal that was pierced on one side, and yet Rebbe declared it a trefa. What's going on over here? So shalach le. So we'll say, so what happens? So this is actually very interesting. So Abaye sent for this Rav Avira. He sent for him. Come and talk to me about this. But for whatever the reason, lo asa, Rav Avira would not come to Rebbe. Okay, Azal Hulagabe Sa Abaye rent to Rav Avira. Havakoi a igra. When it comes to Rav Avira's house or wherever he's staying, he finds Rav Avira on the roof. Okay, whatever the reason. Amar nechosmar vinesei. So Abaye calls up Avira. Come, why don't you come down here? Let's talk. Lo nachis. Rav Avira wouldn't come down. Salak Hulagabe. Abaye goes up on the roof. Amarle Ema Li Guf. So we'll say, by the way, just so you understand, I don't mean to take any way of the drama from this story, but understand, again, their roofs were not sloped roofs, right? They were flat roofs. Again, I'm not taking it from it, but still it's interesting. So we'll say, with the fence, right. So Emale Gufa Duvdehava. So we'll say, so Abaye obviously is very intrigued about this episode that was described in the name of Rebbe. So he says to Avira, tell me the episode of Rebbe. Tell me what happened with that case of the reticulum. Amarle, so first of all, Rav Avira gives a little bit of an introduction to who he is. Amarle, Maftir Knesios Ana, Li'ila Merebi Rabba. So this is actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi, he says, Maftir Knesios Ana, Machnis Umotzi HaTalmidim, Uma'asfam Uma'amidim Lelech Mibes HaMedrash. So we'll say, apparently, Rav Avira said, I am like the Gabbai. I'm the Gabbai of the Beis Medrash. What was the job of the Gabbai of the Beis Medrash? I decide who comes in. I decide who goes out. Right? And ultimately, again, I gather the Talmidim ultimately to learn in the Beis Medrash. It's very interesting. So they were going to say a powerful position. So he said, I'm the Gabbai of the Beis Medrash. Le'ela me'Rebbe Rabbo. And ultimately, again, I have a seat, right? I'm very close to Rebbe. V'hava Rav Hunat Sipora. V'Rab Yossi Madda'o. Yoshin Lafana. I will say one time, Rav Huna, Rabbi Yossi are sitting before Rabbi. Ubasa lifnei Rabbi Mechat Shenin Seis Ba'obi Beis HaKosos. And I will say this, Bitzad Echad. So we'll say what happened. And the case came before Rabbi of somebody brought an animal with the reticulum and it was pierced on one side by a needle. Bahafcha Rabbi, Rabbi turned it inside out, or he turned it around. Umatz ale korat dam vitarcha. It's vitarcha. So we'll say, oh. So now watch this. Here's the case. Now, see, we'll say, there's also, the Musar of this Gemara, by the way, is also, when you get information secondhand, very often it's not fully reliable. See, here's the actual story. The reticulum came before Rebbe. It was punctured on one side. So for argument's sake, let's say it was punctured on the inside. On the outside of the reticulum, there was a spot of blood. There was a spot of blood. Rebbe sees that's on the inside it's pierced, on the outside there's a spot of blood. Rebbe declared it a trefa. Why did he declare it a trefa? Va'amar, im ein sham maka koret dam minayin. If there was no wound there, then where did that drop of blood come from? So Rebbe understood the presence of the drop of blood to be indicative of the fact that that animal was actually punctured on both sides. So it turns out that what? That the initial report that Abaye received was incorrect. Rebbe did not make an animal a trefa that was only pierced on one side. It was actively pierced on one side. There was a speck of blood on the other side. And Rebbe understood the speck of blood to be indicative that that animal was pierced on the outside also. Whatever just happened, it healed, it scabbed over, whatever it is. But where there's a speck of blood, Rebbe understood there is a wound. Therefore, he declared it a trefa. So let's listen to this. Abaye hears this, and he says something interesting. Amarle, tarach tarye lahu gavra. So Abaye says, I came here for nothing, right? I came here for nothing, right? Such tircha for this man and all for nothing. In other words, I came here, I called you, I mamish scaled the house, I got up to the roof, and all for nothing. In other words, what Abaye was saying was, okay, there's no chiddush here, masnisin hi. This is our Mishnah, hamesas ubeisakosos shenikva lochot. So Abaye essentially understood this psak of Rebbe to be a davar pashat. To be obvious that halacha lemaisa again, when the animal is pierced on both sides, the animal is a trefa. Even if all you see on one of the sides is a speck of blood, that in and of itself is indicative that the animal has been pierced. Good. So I'll say. So that concludes this discussion. So halacha lemaisa, when it comes to the reticulum, the halacha is that the reticulum needs to be pierced on both sides. The presence of a speck of blood ultimately indicates that halacha lemaisa again, the animal has been pierced. And we saw how these halachos apply ultimately to choshen mishpat, to transactional law as well. Good, weiter. Nafla min agag. So also remember again, the Mishnah spoke about an animal which fell off the roof. So remember again, the Mishnah says, Nafla min agag, or nishtabarov tzalosel, vidirus azev. So we'll say, so the other examples of potential trefa situations is where an animal falls off the roof. As we're going to see in just a moment, the issue of concern with an animal falls off a roof is what we call risuk evarim. So we'll say risuk evarim literally means like a mashing up of the limbs. We're going to see, this is actually going to be its own sugya later on, a separate sugya later on, but essentially for our purposes we're concerned that certain, like the vertebrae get dislodged and that the animal essentially develops some type of internal injury, which ultimately is life-threatening, even if externally it doesn't present that way. So Nafla min agag, Amar Rav Huna. So he listened to this. Hiniach behima lemaila, but say if a person leaves his animal on the roof, buba umatzo lemato, and then you find your animal on the ground. Ein choshishin mishum risuke yavar. Most they don't have to be concerned that maybe the animal fell down and ultimately, again, had this what's called risuke varim, and had this again this dislodging of the limbs. So we'll say, so this is actually very important. The idea being, even though if my animal was on the roof and now it's on the ground, we'll say one thing I know for sure, which is right, it fell, it jumped. We're going to see these distinctions, but the idea is, I don't have to be. The Gemara is saying I don't have to be concerned for risuke varim if I don't see a traumatic event. We're going to see why that is. Listen to this story. Hahu gadya, chad gadya, hahu gadya, the habile the rabina, right? So right, so Ravina had one gadya. I don't know the zaman like b'shreizuz. I don't know how much he bought it for, but the idea is right. Ravina had a gadya. He had a sheep. The chaza chushla biipuma digar. So let's listen to this. So Ravina's gadi, his ewe, right? His sheep is on the rooftop. So standing by the rooftop, we'll say what happens. And it's standing by the rooftop right by a skylight. It sees through the skylight some, literally again, Rashi says, chushla. Chushla is peeled barley. So it's the sheep is standing on the roof, looking through the skylight, sees peeled barley through the skylight. What happens? Nafla me'igra li'ara. The sheep fell through the skylight onto the ground. So asyula kamid ravashi. So they brought the animal for ravashi. What's the status? Is the animal a chafer or not? Amrle hadam rav huna hiniach neim alamala uba matzalamate in choshishim yishumir sukei varim. So let's analyze this. When we said before that if your animal is on the roof, and then you find your animal on the ground, that you don't have to be choshish because of risuk ivarim. Why is that? Is that mishum de isle midi v'misrach? So we'll say, so on one hand, you can say like this. When an animal is on a roof and it wants to get to the ground, what could it do, Rabbi say? It could kind of, to a certain degree, scale the wall, meaning it has the wall to hold on to. That's why we could assume that an animal could get from a roof to the ground without risuk ivarim. If that's the logic, that it's the ability to hold on to the wall that makes all the difference, Rabbi say, then what? That doesn't apply in this case. Why doesn't this apply in this case? Because how is the animal getting down? From a skylight. Let's say a skylight, we assume, is centered somewhere, in the middle of the roof of the home, not by a wall. If that's the case in this situation, the Gedi has nothing to hold on to, and maybe we should be choshish because of Visa Kevarim. So the Gemara says, Mishum de Islay Midi Misrach, Vahai Leslay Midi Misrach, O Dilma, Mishum Da'amda Nafsha. Or maybe Rabbi was saying, even if we want to say an animal doesn't have bechira, like we were talking about in Chovas HaTalmidim, Rabbi say, but an animal has das. Das enough to gauge what's dangerous, what's not dangerous. So an animal knows what kind of jump it could make, right? And knows what kind of jump it can't make. So if the animal is, if the animal is on the roof and lands on the ground, we assume there's no risuk evarim. Why? Because the animal is able to gauge for itself what type of jump it could make. If that's the case, v'hai nami, amda nafsha. But also, even in this case of the gedi that jumps through the skylight, we could assume the gedi only did this when? If the gedi knows that it's capable of handling this jump. Amrlei, so also, sinu, which one is it? What's the status of the gedi? Amrlei, mishum da amda nafsha, v'hai nami amda nafsha. But also, we assume that when an animal is jumping of its own volition from a high point to a low point, that halacha lemaisa, the animal has the requisite das to gauge that it can make this jump safely and properly, and therefore we are not choshesh for risuk evarim. Pretty amazing. Therefore, we'll say in the case of the gedi, halacha lemaisa, again, the animal will not be a trecha. Weiter. Ha-hi imrisa. Dahava Beirav Chavira. We'll say there was an imrasa. This is a U. Right? The sheep, we'll just call it, for lack of a, we're going to call everything sheep today. Right? There was this imrasa. There was this sheep. Dahava Beirav Chaviva. That we'll say, ultimately, again, it was in Rav Chaviva's household. Dahava is actually very interesting. Dahava Shadron Kar'e Basraisa. We'll say, interesting enough, this sheep was dragging its hind legs before. So it was walking on its front legs and dragging its hind legs behind it. Amar Rav Yemar, so we'll say, so what's the shayla over here? So Rav Yemar says, the animal is not a trefa, rather, shigruna nakte. It must be that its hind legs are cramping, that's why it's just dragging them. Maskif le Ravina, so Ravina raised the kasha, v'dilma chut hashidra ifsik. No, maybe Rav Yemar says there's a spinal cord injury. Maybe that's why it's dragging its legs. It has a spinal cord injury. And I've also said a spinal cord injury would absolutely make the animal a trefa. Why do you assume it's a cramp? It could just as easily be a spinal cord injury. If so, I've also said what happens. But kua ashkechua kiravina. So sure enough, they examined the animal and they found out that Ravina was correct. In fact, the animal was suffering from a spinal cord injury, not from a cramp. Vafilu hachi, and I've also said nevertheless, the halacha is hilchasa krav yemar. I've also said it's actually very important. Halacha lemaisa, if you see an animal dragging its hind legs, that does not make the animal a trefa. We do not assume a spinal cord injury. Instead, what do we assume? Cramping of the hind legs, and the animal's just simply dragging its legs behind it. Why? Because shigruna shchiach, cramping is common. Chot hashedra lo shchiach. But Rabbi says, spinal cord injury, that's not as common. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, we assume that it's cramping and not spinal cord injury. Quite interesting. But the Gemara is vayta. I'm Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is also interesting. No, very interesting, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So it says, I'm Rav Huna. Zucharim. And Menachem says, Rav Huna, this is great. Rams. Right? Rams, which are, I don't know what the term is. Like, ramming each other, right? And there are bunny heads, right? So that they're constantly like hitting each other. Listen to this. This is actually quite amazing. We'll say, so we're not choshesh ultimately again because of risuk eibarim. We're not choshesh about say that they injure themselves internally as a result of their ramming of heads. Rabbi say, by the way, you see an incredible something very interesting, which is only animals actively hit one another and ram one another, right, knowingly and willingly. When you see human beings doing this, even if they're wearing tight pants and helmets and a bunch of other things, mamish zelo normali, right? That's not the normal derech of Adam, right? It's just a side commentary. You'll do with this what you want, right? I will say, but again, you see, so would you ever watch a pair of rams hitting heads with each other for 4 hours on a Sunday afternoon while eating wings? Right? Would you ever just sit down on your couch and watch rams doing it? So if you wouldn't watch rams doing it, you have to ask why we watch human beings doing it. Okay, but that's a side point. So just my opinion. Says the Gemara, see if you have rams hitting each other in the head. Right? So what happens? Ein choshesh mishum risuki evarim. So you don't have to be choshesh mishum risuki evarim. Okay, but apparently because that's the normal derech. Because that's a normal derech, you don't have to be concerned that they're injuring each other. Afal gav demidvu. Now, this is true, even though they look like they are in pain afterwards. Even though they look pained, nevertheless, halacha lemaaseh, you don't have to assume misukei ivarim. The Gemara says, v'kaimi tzimra ba'almahu dinakatlu. And I will say, you could assume that if they're in pain, they may have developed some type of fever, but not misukei ivarim. However, enough la'ara, I will say, if after ramming their heads against each other, they fall to the ground, then vaday chayshinon. Then I will say, one would have to be choshesh ultimately again for risuk eibarim. Amram Menashe, Haini, I will say, these are incredible cases. Amram Menashe, Haini dichri de ganvi. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, de ganvi ganavi, ein choshesh mishum risuk eibarim. Let's listen to this. If sheep are stolen by thieves, so I will say, remember again, if you own sheep, generally, what did you have around your house or around your pen? You had a fence or a wall, and generally a high one. What would thieves do, Rabbi saying? So thieves would come into my pen, lift up my sheep, and throw it over the wall. Right? That's how you'd steal sheep. So we'll say, so the Gemara says over here, you don't have to be choshesh that the stolen sheep become treifus because of the fall on the other side of the wall because of risik evarim. Why not? My taima, ki shodulei, Amasnayushadulahu. We'll say because thieves are skilled, and when they throw the animal over the wall, they make sure they do it in a way that the animal will land on its front side. See, we'll say, when we're concerned about an animal becoming a trait, would that be if an animal lands on its back? We're going to see blunt trauma to the back of the animal could cause risuk eibarim. If it lands on its stomach side, we'll call it, that animal's going to be fine. We assume that thieves throw the animal over in such a way that it lands on its front side. Now, we'll say thieves have a vested interest in this. Why? Because we'll say what the thieves need is as soon as the animal gets over that fence, what do they need? They need the animal to move, right? They need the animal to move. That animal gets injured, and you have to carry the sheep. There's absolutely, you're not getting away too fast. Therefore, they're careful with how they throw the animal over, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, the animal is not a treifa. Adrinu, let's listen to this. But if the thief goes ahead and returns the animal, let's say the thief has a right, he has a change of heart and he wants to throw the animal back over the fence, then vaday chayshinan. I will say, we're concerned, it's interesting, a thief takes a lot more care when ultimately stealing the animal than he does when returning the animal. When he steals it, he's going to be careful to throw it over in a way that it lands on its feet. When he throws it back, just get rid of this. And therefore, again, we'd have to be concerned for risuk eibarim. But I will say, watch this beautiful qualification. V'hani mili da'adrinu machmas yira. But I'll say, that's only if he's returning it because suddenly he got scared that maybe someone saw him stealing. Ava machmas tshuva. But Rabbi will say, no, again, sometimes people do tshuva. Yesh karma b'sha'acha. So we'll say, sometimes a person has an instantaneous desire to change. He throws the sheep over the wall, says to himself, what am I doing? What am I doing? And he wants to return the sheep. If the return is motivated by a sense of tshuva, then what Rabbi will say? A person is going to return it in a way that allows the animal to be whole, and we don't have to be choshesh for risuk eibarim. So it's interesting. If he returns it machmas yira, you have to be concerned for risuk eibarim. If he returns it machmas tshuva, how you know that? How you know that? All right, I don't know. You see him go from there right to the mikvah and then to say tehillim. I don't know, you know, whatever the mitzias is. I will say, but an interesting distinction. Good. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, hika al rosha. Listen to this. V'holchala klapeis nava. So it'll say, if you hit the animal, if you hit the animal on its head, then we'll say, now what's happening over here is you're hitting the animal on the head, you can imagine with like a long staff. So the idea is I'm hitting it on the head, and the staff also strikes the animal all the way down its length to the tail. Or als nava, v'holcha klapei rosha, or ultimately again you hit it by the tail and it extends all the way up towards the head. Kola shedra kula, ein choshesh mishum risuke evarim. Well, this is actually very interesting. You don't have to be choshesh like that for risuke evarim. Why not? We're going to see where the trauma is diffused along the length of the animal, you don't have to be choshesh for risuke evarim. So if you hit the animal with a long stick, you know, from the area of the head down to the tail, from the tail up to the head, doesn't have to mean the head is included necessarily, but the idea is you hit the animal along its length, you don't have to be choshesh for risuke evarim because the trauma is absorbed along the length of the animal. V'shalim chutra apalgei degaba. But I will say, if you go ahead, and what? If you go ahead and, here, if you look at Rashi says, actually not yet. V'shalim chutra apalgei degaba. But I will say, if you go ahead and you hit across, if you hit across the width of the back, then halacha lemaisa chayshinon. Then you have to be choshesh. Why Rabbi say? Because there, the trauma is felt on one localized part of the animal. It's not diffused along the length. The ispe kitri, I will say, if the stone, if your stick that you're in the animal with has knots, so therefore again, the trauma is felt even more intensely, chayshinon. Then ultimately, again, you have to be choshesh ultimately for a treifa. V'imachi afseke chayshinon. And if halacha lemaisa again, we'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, again, Rashi says, where was this? Did I lose the place in Rashi? Yeah, Afsake, I'm sorry. Look at Rashi, second line from the bottom. Afsake behefsek lomar lerochaf agav chayshin lechodesh edra. We'll say this is the same case as before. If you hit the animal across the width of its back instead of the length, you'd also have to be choshesh ultimately again for that trauma. Amrav Nachman. What's Rav Nachman says? Second line from the bottom. Nun Aleph Amad Aleph. Amrav Nachman. Beis harechem in bo mishum risuke evaram. We'll say, halacha lemaisa is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. Beis harechem. Egel shenolat hayom shetim beis harechem tzar. We'll say, and when an animal is birthed, it comes through the birth canal. The birth canal is narrow. So I will say, the Gemara says, you don't have to be concerned that just by the process of being born, that an animal is subject to risuke evarim. I will say, we're going to see, this is later on, this is a different story, but I'll just, this important piece of information for now. When you have a concern that an animal may have suffered from risuke evarim, the way you have to deal with that is you wait 24 hours. If the animal survives 24 hours, the animal is totally fine. If it doesn't live out the 24 hours, we attribute its death to the risuke evarim. Now watch this. The Gemara says, when an animal is birthed, you don't have to be concerned for risuke evarim. I will say, what does that mean to us practically? Practically, you could shecht it and eat it immediately. When an animal is born, you don't have to wait 24 hours before eating it. You could shecht it and eat it immediately. Says the Gemara, Amri Rav Rav Nachman, Tain Demisei Elecha, we have a brisa that supports you. Tinok Ben Yom Echad, we'll say this is a human child, right? If you have a human child, right, who is even one day old, Amadeis, Mitame Beziva. So without getting into the technicalities over here, Halach Lamais, if you have a one day old child, and he has some type of emission, he could become Tame Alt Tumas Ziva. If you hold that through the process of birth, right, human being or animal, there is a potential risuke evarim, then what? The Rabbi says the halach is then that child, at least within the first 24 hours, should not be subject to the laws of Zav. Why not? Ikri kan mibsaro, v'lo machmasan sov. Because the Rabbi says the halacha by Zav is that what? One of the first things we check for when it comes to Zivos is, did the emission occur as a result of some type of illness or sickness? If it did, that's not called Zivos. But if you tell me that by definition, birth creates the possibility of risuke evarim, that would mean that if the child would have an emission during the first 24 hours, that would not be Zivos. We would attribute that ultimately again to the choli of risuke evarim. The fact that ultimately a one-day-old child could become a Zav tells you that he's not a chola, or that at least that he's not risuke evarim, which is why it could become a Zav. So I will say, from here you see another proof that birth, the process of birth, even though it causes the human or the animal to go through a more restricted birth canal, does not go ahead and make a human being subject to the potential treifos, or an animal, subject of risuke evarim. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. How come I ask him? And what's the case here, Bosai? Maybe he could go and shiyata derech dofen. Bosai could very well be that halacha lemaisa, this case of the one-day-old baby becoming a zav, is a C-section. Bosai, in a C-section, there's no issue of risuke varim because there's no constriction of the birth canal. So maybe enachinami, if the child was born in natural birth through the birth canal, maybe enachinami, what? Maybe the child would not be subject to the laws of zivus. So it's not really a raya. Tashma. Egel shenolad biyamtiv, shokten also biyamtiv. So we'll say, here we go. If you have a calf that was born on yamtiv, the halacha is, you could shecht it on yamtiv. So we'll say, remember, shechita is permitted on yamtiv. Egel is born in yamtiv, you could shecht it. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? What you see from here, we'll say, is that what? You're allowed to shecht an animal immediately when it's born. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? That there's no chashash of risuk evarim as a result of the constriction of the birth canal. To which the Gemara says, no, I can say hachinami ki gon shi yotze derech dofen. But we'll say it's possible that this is also a case of what? Yotze dofen. Maybe also this animal was delivered through C-section. That's why you could shecht it on yamtiv, because there's no chashash of risuk evarim. So the Gemara says, tashma, another potential proof, v'shavin she'im nolat hu umumo imo she'zem min amuchan. Supposed to listen to this. So this is actually talking about a bachar animal. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, if you have a bachar animal that was born with its mum. Bachar animal is born with a mum. So we'll say what happens when a bachar is born with a mum? It's not consecrated. So if you look at Rashi, v'shavin tonight, the pligim says, v'itza, kai bachar shenol ba'mum b'yom, v'shavin da'filu ha'oser b'nola bo'bayom, mum mishum d'mukta haya b'en ha'shmashos machmas, yisr kachim b'chutz, ala amnolet hayom mumo imo, so let's listen to this. Let's say the Bechor ultimately again is born in the mum, with a mum, and therefore again both say it is permitted to be shechted. She permitted to even do this on yamtiv. So both say again, what do you see from here? Now this just happens to be a Bechor. The Bechor piece of both say is not as important for us as much as this detail that you're permitted to shechted immediately on yamtiv, which again tells me that there's no chashash risuke varim as a result of the process of birth. Maybe you'll say, this is also a C-section case. It's a C-section. Derech dofen mikadosh. Habosai, does an animal have kedushas bachar if it's delivered via C-section? V'ha'amar b'yochanan, moda ha'yu Reb Shimon le'iyan kadshim, she'eino kadosh. Habosai, Reb Shimon agrees that Habosai, when it comes to kadshim, specifically over here by bachar, that an animal does not have bachar status if it is birthed. If it is birthed via a C-section. So we'll say, so what's the case? Hacham ayaskinon shehifris al gabe karka. So we'll say, so now watch this. Look at Rashi. Hacham ayaskinon hadiktani mutter bo bayom v'lochay shalizkaron. So we'll say, so what is the case? Where ultimately, again, we allow you to shecht an animal that's born that very day. And we're not choshesh for risuke varim. What's the case? Kegon shehifris al gabe karka. Look at Rashi. Nin ar lamod v'tachav parsos of lamod. Damrina lakaman gabi nefula amda minifilasa in tzichmiyas. So we'll see, what's the case? The animal stood on its own 2 feet. Right? If the animal hifris al gabi karka means the animal stood up. If the animal stood up, Rabbi said, that tells us that what? There is no risuk evarim, and the animal is absolutely permitted for shechita that very day. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. V'amrav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Beis Hamitbachim in bo mishum risuke evarim. So the Gemara now goes weiter. So what's the situation? Beis Hamitbachim, Rav Osei, means the butcher house, the slaughterhouse. Now watch this. So the Gemara says, the slaughterhouse in bo mishum risuke evarim. Look at Rashi, Beis Hamitbachim, kishem apilin osa la'aretz l'shachto, afilu mimakom gavah. So we'll say the keys over here is, it's actually very interesting. In order to shecht an animal, what do you have to do? You have to push it to the ground. A little bit different. Shechita technology is a bit different today, but you have to push it to the ground. So most say, we're not concerned that when you push the animal to the ground, there's going to be an issue of risuke varim. Why not? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara tells the story. Hu tura denafal. There was an ox that was pushed over. V'ishtama kol negichuse. And we'll say, ultimately, again, groaned as it was pushed over, as it fell. All Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shua bar Marta. So we'll say, ultimately, the Shua bar Marta came along. Shakel mishipuri shufrei. And he bought from the best pieces of meat. In other words, we'll say, showing what? That the animal was absolutely kosher. Amarli Rabbanan. Minadachal. So Rabbanan said, how do you know this animal's kosher? How do you know? We'll say, first of all, in this case also, the animal groaned. That's the other piece also. So how do you know that just as a result of being pushed over, that there was no risak eibarim? So the Gemara says, Omalei, Hachi Omarav, Siparnov Noetz Ad Shemagielar. Because also we understand, the animal tries to center its gravity a little bit. I guess literally translated, the animal digs its heels in until it reaches the ground. So we'll say the idea is, it's not just the total fall, the animal tries to shift its weight. When the animal realizes that it's being pushed over, it tries to shift its weight a little bit, thereby cushioning the fall. So because the fall is cushioned, ultimately what? The animal is not, there's no issue of risak eibarim. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Amda Emetzricha Me'eslei. So we'll say another interesting case. Amda Rashi says, Amas Nisin Koi, Shenafla Min Agag, Va'amda V'lo Halcha Ina Tzricha Shiaseh. Let's listen to this. If an animal falls off an elevated place, we'll say, so the Halach is, remember again, the issue of Nafla Min Agag is an issue of potential Risak Eivarim. I believe it's the name of Rav, if the animal stands up after falling down, you do not have to wait 24 hours before Shachting. So we'll say, as we're going to see later on, the Halach is where the animal fell down, or risuk, any case of risuk eivarim, the way kind of you see what's happening is you wait 24 hours. If the animal lives, we're good. If the animal dies, it's a treifa. We'll say, however, the Gemara now says, if after falling the animal stands up, that is enough of an indication that what? That there was no risuk eivarim, and the animal is fine. Bedika vadai vaya. But I will say, but the halacha is that after you shech the animal, it certainly requires a bedika, certainly an inner examination of the spinal cord and other parts of the animal as well. Halacha, but I will say the halacha is eina tzricha bedika. But I will say the halacha, in fact, is a bit different, and the halacha is that it does not require a bedika. Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi Amar Achas. So I will say the idea being, once it stands on its own feet, that's enough of a raya that it is not suffering from risak eivarim. Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi Amar Achazu va'achazu tzricha bedika. Rechir Ba'ashi said, Rabbi, saying all of these cases, the animal is going to require, ultimately again, a bedika. Amar B'yirmiya Bar'acha Amarav, Pashta Yada Lamot. So I'll say, let's say after falling, the animal extends its front leg to stand up. Afa Pishala Amda, even though it didn't stand up. Or, Akra Ragla Lahalech. Or I will say, it lifted its foot in an effort to walk. Afa Pishala Holcha, even though it did not walk. Rav Chista Amar Nin Ara Lamot Afa Pi Shalo Amda. Rav Chista says, even if I was say Nin Ara Lamot means like it stirred to stand up, even though it didn't stand up. So I was saying all of these cases, all these are saying this is enough of an expression of vitality to show that there is no issue of risak eivarim. The Hilchasa, and I will say the halacha is Hecha de Nafla Min Agag Bidalo Yada Va Amda. Sorry, Hecha de Amda Hecha de Nafla Min Agag Bidalo Yada Va Amda Vlo Halcha Tzricha Bedika. So we'll say bottom line, halacha lemaisa, again, if the animal exhibits some basic level of vitality post-fall, then the animal, we're not concerned about the animal being a treifa. So we'll say, and that indeed is the halacha, as the Gemara is saying it over here. Amra meimar, mishmei drab dimi min arda. Nefula sh'amru tzricha bedika, kineged b'nei me'ayin. We'll say, so comes along Amemar, and he says, this nefula, this animal that fell down, requires bedika by the b'nei me'ayin, by the intestines, we'll say, we're concerned for some type of internal injury, and therefore the animal requires a bedika by the intestines. Amalei mar zutra, hechi aminu an mishmei d'ra papa. So we'll say, Sigmar says, I'm sorry. This is what we say in Rav Papa. Tzricha, we'll say first wide line. No, not off on the days. Tzricha bedika kineged beis chalalo kulo. The truth is, we'll say in a case of nefula, the animal falls, we actually need to check the entire cavity of the animal, by the stomach cavity. You have to check the entire chest stomach cavity to make sure there's no internal injury. Armali huna mar bered Rav Nechemya, Ravashi, simanin mai. Rabbi will say, what about the simanim? Do you have to check the simanim in this kind of case? As I will say, when there's a nefula, do I have to be concerned that maybe the kana or the veshet were dislodged as well? To which the Gemara says, Amar lei, simanim kashinhein, eitz on the fila. No, you don't have to worry about the simanim. The simanim are sturdy. The simanim, will say, are not usually dislodged from a fall. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Of shenechbat apnei amai. Let's listen to this case. What happens if a bird like slams against the surface of the water. So we'll say in this case over here, instead of the bird doing a graceful dive into water, so what happens? We'll say the bird slams into the surface of the water. So what happens under those circumstances? Ov shenichbat apnei amayim, kevan sheshat melo kumaso dayo. And we'll say once it goes ahead and it swims its own length, that's enough. So swimming of the bird in the water is enough of an expression of vitality that the bird is not a trave. So we'll say how much does it have to swim? Only the length of its body. Relatively small amount. V'lo amran ela mimata lamala. We'll say that's only if it's upstream. Ava lamala mimata mayim hu da'ashval. So we'll say when is swimming an expression of vitality? Only when it's swimming upstream. If it's swimming downstream, then what? That is not an expression of vitality. Why? We'll say, what is that called? That's called the current taking it. V'i maya kaimi leslanba. We'll say, if halacha lemaisa, again, the water was standing water, then again, no matter which direction it goes ahead and it swims, that'll be enough of an expression. However, it says the Gemara, the shadat sivi v'kadme ha'kadme. So let's listen to this. If there are wood chips floating in the water, it's actually very interesting. If there are wood chips floating in the water, Vikadme. We'll say if we look at Rashi Kadme, it's in the wide lines of Rashi, 2, 4, 6 lines in Vikadme. Ihu litsivi. If halach lamaisa, there's wood chips in the water, and the bird is swimming faster than the wood chips in the water, milamala lamata, even if we'll say if they're both swimming with the current, afilu bemaya delokaimi, shari, dechaven dekadme ihu litsivi, ihu dekashai. So we'll say if the bird swims faster than the wood chips, even if everything's going downstream, that's also an expression of vitality because that shows that it is the bird's force which is propelling it, even though it's going down. I mean, the fact that the bird is going faster than the items floating in the water indicates that it's the bird's vitality that is propelling it forward, and therefore the bird is not a treva. All right, the boss, we have to stop over here for today. Pick up over here, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow. Shkoyach.